Chapter 20. Until he was alone in the room by himself. A tallish, good-looking young man of 21, with a light whisker. He went to a particular hat peg, took off a good hat that was hanging there, tried it on, hung his own hat in its place, and hung that hat on another peg, nearly opposite to me. I then felt quite certain that he was the thief, and would come back by and by. When they were all upstairs, the gentleman came in with the great coat. I showed him where to hang it, so that I might have a good view of it, and he went away, and I lay under the sofa on my chest, for a couple of hours or so, waiting. At last, the same young man came down. He walked across the room, whistling, stopped and listened, took another walk and whistled, stopped again, and listened, then began to go regularly round the pegs, feeling in the pockets of all the coats. When he came to the great coat, and felt the pocketbook, he was so eager, and so hurried, that he broke the strap in tearing it open. As he began to put the money in his pocket, I crawled out from under the sofa, and his eyes met mine. My face, as you may perceive, is brown now, but it was pale at that time, my health not being good, and looked as long as a horse's. Besides which, there was a great draft of air from the door, underneath the sofa, and I had tied a handkerchief round my head. So what I looked like, altogether, I don't know. He turned blue, literally blue, when he saw me crawling out, and I couldn't feel surprised at it. I am an officer of the detective police, said I, and have been lying here since you first came in this morning. I regret, for the sake of yourself and your friends, that you should have done what you have. But this case is complete. You have the pocketbook in your hand and the money upon you, and I must take you into custody. It was impossible to make out any case in his behalf, and on his trial he pleaded guilty. How or when he got the means I don't know, but while he was awaiting his sentence, he poisoned himself in Newgate. Apostrophe, we inquired of this officer, on the conclusion of the foregoing anecdote, whether the time appeared long, or short, when he lay in that constrained position under the sofa. Why, you see, sir, apostrophe, he replied, if he hadn't come in, the first time, and I had not been quite sure he was the thief, and would return, the time would have seemed long. But, as it was, I being dead certain of my man, the time seemed pretty short. Apostrophe, on duty with Inspector Field, how goes the night? St. Giles' clock is striking 9. The weather is dull and wet, and the long lines of street lamps are blurred, as if we saw them through tears. A damp wind blows and rakes the pieman's fire out, when he opens the door of his little furnace, carrying away an eddy of sparks. St. Giles' clock strikes 9. We are punctual. Where is Inspector Field? Assistant Commissioner of Police is already here, enwrapped in oilskin cloak, and standing in the shadow of St. Giles' steeple. Detective Sergeant, weary of speaking French all day to foreigners unpacking at the Great Exhibition, is already here. Where is Inspector Field? Inspector Field is, tonight, the guardian genius of the British Museum. He is bringing his shrewd eye to bear on every corner of its solitary galleries, before he reports all right. Apostrophe suspicious of the Elgin marbles, and not to be done by cat-faced Egyptian giants with their hands upon their knees, Inspector Field, sagacious, vigilant, lamp in hand, throwing monstrous shadows on the walls and ceilings, passes through the spacious rooms. If a mummy trembled in an atom of its moldy covering, Inspector Field would say, come out of that, Tom Green. I know you. Apostrophe if the smallest gonoph about town were crouching at the bottom of a classic bath, Inspector Field would nose him with a finer scent than the ogre's, when adventurous Jack lay trembling in his kitchen copper. But all is quiet, and Inspector Field goes warily on, making little outward show of attending to anything in particular, just recognizing the ichthyosaurus as a familiar acquaintance, and wondering, perhaps, how the detectives did it in the days before the flood. Will Inspector Field be long about this work? He may be half an hour longer. He sends his compliments by police constable and proposes that we meet at St. Giles Station House, across the road. Good. It were as well to stand by the fire there as in the shadow of St. Giles steeple. Anything doing here tonight? Not much. We are very quiet. A lost boy, extremely calm and small, sitting by the fire, whom we now confide to a constable to take home, for the child says that, if you show him Newgate Street, he can show you, where he lives a raving drunken woman in the cells, who has screeched her voice away, and has hardly power enough left to declare, even with the passionate help of her feet and arms, that she is the daughter of a British officer, and, strike her blind and dead. But she'll write a letter to the Queen, but who is soothed with a drink of water in another cell, a quiet woman with a child at her breast, for begging in another, her husband in a smock frock, with a basket of watercresses in another, a pickpocket in another, a meek tremulous old pauper man who has been out for a holiday, and has took but a little drop, but it has overcome him after so many months in the house, and that's all as yet. Presently, a sensation at the station house door. Mr. Field, gentlemen. Inspector Field comes in, wiping his forehead, for he is of a burly figure, and has come fast from the ores and metals of the deep mines of the earth, and from the parrot gods of the South Sea Islands, and from the birds and beetles of the tropics, and from the arts of Greece and Rome, and from the sculptures of Nineveh, and from the traces of an elder world, when these were not. Is Rogers ready? Rogers is ready, strapped and great-coated, with a flaming eye in the middle of his waist, like a deformed cyclops. Lead on, Rogers, to Rat's Castle. How many people may there be in London, who, if we had brought them deviously and blindfold, to this street, 50 paces from the station house, and within call of St. Giles Church, would know it for a not remote part of the city in which their lives are passed? How many, who amidst this compound of sickening smells, these heaps of filth, these tumbling houses, with all their vile contents, animate and inanimate, slimily overflowing into the black road, would believe that they breathe this air? How much red tape may there be that could look round on the faces which now hem us in, for our appearance here has caused a rush from all points to a common center, the lowering foreheads, the sallow cheeks, the brutal eyes, the matted hair, the infected, vermin-haunted heaps of rags, and say, I have thought of this. I have not dismissed the thing. I have neither blustered it away, nor frozen it away, nor tied it up, and put it away, nor smoothly said poo, poo, to it when it has been shown to me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, this is not what Rogers wants to know, however. What Rogers wants to know is whether you will clear the way here, some of you, or whether you won't, because if you don't do it right on end, he'll lock you up. What? You are there, are you, Bob Miles? You haven't had enough of it yet, haven't you? You want 3 months more, do you? Come away from that gentleman. What are you creeping round there for? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what am I doing, Finn, Mr. Rogers? Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Bob Miles, appearing, villainous, at the end of a lane of light, made by the lantern. I'll let you know pretty quick, if you don't hook it. Will you hook it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a sycophantic murmur rises from the crowd. Hook it, Bob, when Mr. Rogers and Mr. Field tells you. Why don't you hook it, when you are told to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the most importunate of the voices strikes familiarly on Mr. Rogers' ear. He suddenly turns his lantern on the owner. What? You are there, are you, Mr. Click? You hook it to come. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what for? Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Mr. Click, discomfited. You hook it, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Mr. Rogers with stern emphasis. Both Click and Miles do hook it, apostrophe, without another word, or, in plainer English, sneak away. Close up there, my men. Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Inspector Field to two constables on duty who have followed. Keep together, gentlemen. We are going down here. Heads. apostrophe, St. Giles Church strikes 10:30. We stoop low, and creep down a precipitous flight of steps into a dark, close cellar. There is a fire. There is a long deal table. There are benches. The cellar is full of company, chiefly very young men in various conditions of dirt and raggedness. Some are eating supper. There are no girls or women present. Welcome to Rat's Castle, gentlemen, unto this company of noted thieves. Well, my lads. How are you, my lads? What have you been doing today? Here's some company come to see you, my lads. There's a plate of beefsteak, sir, for the supper of a fine young man. And there's a mouth for a steak, sir. Why, I should be too proud of such a mouth as that, if I had it myself. Stand up and show it, sir. Take off your cap. There's a fine young man for a nice little party, sir. And he? Apostrophe, Inspector Field is the bustling speaker. Inspector Field's eye is the roving eye that searches every corner of the cellar as he talks. Inspector Field's hand is the well-known hand that has collared half the people here, and motioned their brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, male and female friends, inexorably to New South Wales. Yet Inspector Field stands in this den, the sultan of the place. Every thief here cowers before him, like a schoolboy before his schoolmaster. All watch him, all answer when addressed, all laugh at his jokes, all seek to propitiate him. The cellar company alone, to say nothing of the crowd surrounding the entrance from the street above, and making the steps shine with eyes, is strong enough to murder us all, and willing enough to do it. But, let Inspector Field have a mind to pick out one thief here, and take him. Let him produce that ghostly truncheon from his pocket, and say, with his business air, my lad, I want you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and all Rat's Castle shall be stricken with paralysis, and not a finger move against him, as he fits the handcuffs on. Where's the Earl of Warwick? Here he is, Mr. Field. Here's the Earl of Warwick, Mr. Field. Oh, there you are, my lord. Come forward. There's a chest, sir, not to have a clean shirt on. And it? Take your hat off, my lord. Why, I should be ashamed, if I was you and an earl, to show myself to a gentleman with my hat on. The Earl of Warwick laughs and uncovers. All the company laugh. One pickpocket, especially, laughs with great enthusiasm. Oh, what a jolly game it is, when Mr. Field comes down, and don't want nobody. So, you are here too, are you, you tall, gray, soldierly-looking, grave man, standing by the fire? Yes, sir. Good evening, Mr. Field. Let us see. You lived servant to a nobleman once? Yes, Mr. Field. And what is it you do now, I forget? Well, Mr. Field, I job about as well as I can. I left my employment on account of delicate health. The family is still kind to me. Mr. Wicks of Piccadilly is also very kind to me, when I am hard up. Likewise Mr. Nix of Oxford Street. I get a trifle from them occasionally, and rub on as well as I can, Mr. Field. Mr. Field's eye rolls enjoyingly, for this man is a notorious begging letter writer. Good night, my lads. Good night, Mr. Field, and thank ye, sir. Clear the street here, half a thousand of you. Cut it, Mrs. Stalker, none of that, we don't want you. Rogers of the Flaming Eye, lead on to the tramp's lodging house. A dream of billful faces attends to the door. Now, stand back all of you. And the rear detective sergeant plants himself, composedly whistling, with his strong right arm across the narrow passage. Mrs. Stalker, I am something it that need not be written here, if you won't get yourself into trouble, in about half a minute, if I see that face of yours again. St. Giles Church clock, striking 11, comes through our hand from the dilapidated door of a dark outhouse as we open it, and are stricken back by the pestilent breath that issues from within. Rogers to the front with the light, and let us look. 10. 20, 30, who can count them? Men, women, children, for the most part naked, heaped upon the floor like maggots in a cheese. Oh, in that dark corner yonder. Does anybody lie there? Me, sir, Irish me, a widder, with 6 children. And yonder? Me, sir, Irish me wife and 8 poor babes. And to the left there? Me, sir, Irish me, along with 2 more Irish boys as is me friends. And to the right there? Me, sir, and the Murphy family, numbering 5 blessed souls. And what's this, coiling now, about my foot? Another Irish me, pitifully in want of shaving, whom I have awakened from sleep, and across my other foot lies his wife, and by the shoes of Inspector Field lie their 3 eldest, and their 3 youngest are at present squeezed between the open door and the wall. And why is there no one on that little mat before the sullen fire? Because O'Donovan, with his wife and daughter, is not come in from selling lucifers. Nor on the bit of sacking in the nearest corner? Bad luck. Because that Irish family is late tonight, a-catching in the streets. They are all awake now, the children excepted, and most of them sit up, to stare. Wheresoever Mr. Rogers turns the flaming eye, there is a spectral figure rising, unshrouded, from a grave of rags. Who is the landlord here? I am, Mr. Field, says a bundle of ribs and parchment against the wall, scratching itself. Will you spend this money fairly, in the morning, to buy coffee for 'em all? Yes, sir, I will. Oh, he'll do it, sir, he'll do it fair. He's honest, cry the specters, and with thanks and good night sink into their graves again. Thus, we make our new Oxford streets, and our other new streets, never heeding, never asking, where the wretches whom we clear out, crowd. With such scenes at our doors, with all the plagues of Egypt tied up with bits of cobweb in kennels so near our homes, we timorously make our nuisance bills and boards of health, nonentities, and think to keep away the wolves of crime and filth, by our electioneering ducking to little vestrymen, and our gentlemanly handling of red tape. Intelligence of the coffee money has got abroad. The yard is full, and Rogers of the Flaming Eye is beleaguered with entreaties to show other lodging houses. Mine next. Mine. Mine. Rogers, military, obdurate, stiff-necked, immovable, replies not, but leads away, all falling back before him. Inspector Field follows. Detective Sergeant, with his barrier of arm across the little passage, deliberately waits to close the procession. He sees behind him, without any effort, and exceedingly disturbs one individual far in the rear by coolly calling out, "It won't do, Mr. Michael. Don't try it." Apostrophe, after counsel holden in the street, we enter other lodging houses, public houses, many lairs and holes, all noisome and offensive, none so filthy, and so crowded as where Irish are. In one, the Ethiopian party are expected home presently were in Oxford Street, when last heard of shall be fetched, for our delight, within 10 minutes. In another, one of the 2 or 3 professors who drew Napoleon Buonaparte and a couple of mackerel, on the pavement, and then let the work of art out to a speculator, is refreshing after. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.